This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. So glad you could join us today. Hope you'll stay with us for the entire hour. We've got a great and action-packed hour in front of us. Talking today about the research council. We're talking today about phonetics, first of all. And then we'll get to the Resource Council of Western New York if we have time. And I'm Brett Larson. Actually, no, I'm Ryan Cozy. I'm Brett Larson, joined by Ryan Cozy, co-hosting here every week together as we bring you Christ Together Radio, a show about what God is doing as he is on the move in Western New York and we are joining him on his mission. And brought a lot of different ministries, a lot of different things that are happening to the airwaves of Christ Together Radio. And hopefully, as you've been able to catch us on the air or online, that you've been able to learn something about the good things that are happening in Western New York and the work that needs to continue to happen. But Ryan, it's been a good run.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been excited. Last week we had a great time to talk with the Resource Council. Thanks for joining us again this week. These are the type of conversations that excite me when we start talking about mobilized people, bringing the gospel tangibly, meeting tangible needs, and as a result of that, earning trust to proclaim the gospel to people. And I'm excited to have them in studio again this week.
It is true. And, you know, we talked last week kind of the reason for the Resource Council, the philosophy behind it, why it exists. And this week we're going to get a little deeper, and we're going to talk about some of the real issues, some of the challenges that you all have faced or that you see even coming down the road. And we talked about, you know, education issues and just some of the real issues that are in the community around where you guys are, and also in really all of the inner city, really many of our inner cities in America. Actually, it's not just a Buffalo issue. It's all over in the urban context, but in the city of Buffalo, and just so some of the really hopelessness that is felt throughout the education system, throughout, you know, jobs, throughout this quote unquote renaissance, as Ryan always talks about, this renaissance that really isn't for many people yet, and hopefully it will be, but it's not, that's happening all around in the city. The jobs and buildings and things are happening, and maybe some of the depression that can kick in with that's all happening and you're not a part of it. And, you know, as I try to continually put myself in someone else's shoes that might be living over on the east side and watching all this building happen just all around them, with the medical campus and downtown, and we're seeing, sky rises go up downtown for the first time in many, many years. I've lived here all my life, and it's really awesome. But wait, there's a whole people group that still needs help, and we can't forget that. So anyway, we're going to get into that today. We're going to talk about some of the things that the Resource Council is doing. We want you to stay with us. Listen, as always, if you need to catch up on last week's episode, because it is kind of a groundwork or a foundation for what we're doing this week. But if you want to catch up on that, go to WDCXradio.com, go to programs and click on Christ Together Radio. Don't do it now. Do it after this show. Listen to us live on air now, and then go check us out there. And you can hear a lot of the different episodes we've had and things that are happening. So we're going to be joined today by Jerrica Delaney, a Michigan grad and a City Honors grad. My wife is that, so I'm not, now we have, you know, we're cool, right? Right?
Right.
All right. And Justin King also. I don't even know where you went to school or anything. It doesn't matter.
Because, OP.
Yeah.
No, Hamburg.
Hamburg.
Hamburg. I'm sorry.
Hamburg
High
School.
Hamburg, right, and University Hamburg of Pennsylvania.
But we're local folk. We're here and just trying to make a difference in the city. So Jerrica Delaney and Justin King joining us from the Research Council of Western New York and the community center that's involved there. And we're going to be digging in here in just a minute. You won't want to miss this. It's really interesting. And I think if you really allow God to begin to speak to you, it could change your life. Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. And we indeed have all the fun in the breaks. I'm sorry. But we're going to have fun today. We want you to listen in, because we hope that what we're going to talk about begins to just move in your heart a little bit, and you would find out what God would have you to do to support what's happening in the urban areas in our city. Hopefully that's with the Research Council, but just in general, if you're listening, maybe in your car in Toronto, and you're listening and you're wondering what God would have you to do, I can tell you this: if God puts something on your heart and you begin to pray about it and you begin to say, God, I'm open to what you want me to do, doors will open and he will begin to show you where he's at work in your particular context in the urban environment, because there is a real need in our cities and in Buffalo, which is what we're talking about today, but really any urban context, there's a real need. Ryan, during the break, we were speaking of academics, and you mentioned that even with a PhD, you had to relearn, some things just to help kids because of our education system today.
Yeah, there used to be a really good after-school program on the west side of Buffalo, kind of the Black Rock West Hurdle. It was called Excel Leadership Center, and it was housed at Renovation Church. It was a great program. I was a tutor there for, I think, 4 years. I was labeled as a math tutor, but you end up just, you're a mentor. You know, you meet tangible needs by helping with math, and it was actually a lot of fun. My daughter joined me. She was kind of basically they brought her in as like to show how to be a good student, like put it on display with another student, and then you can say, hey, do your work like this, and then you can do this. You know, it was a lot of fun. But this whole Common Core thing came up a few years ago. I don't even know when it started, but I got to the point where, I was fortunate to do my graduate work, and my doctoral work was focused on studying organizations, but specifically studying them through quantitative stats. And here I am, you know, taking the highest levels of mathematics you can take, at least in terms of stats, not necessarily calculus, but stats, and I'm having to tutor myself so that I can tutor kids on fourth grade math, third grade math, eighth grade math. And I'm sitting here taking, like, you know, I get online, you log in, you take the tutorial, and then you can teach the class. And I just thought to myself, what is happening with the state of education in America that someone who, you know, has earned this sort of a degree, has this sort of, like, 8 years of school, you know, a college school, yeah. And I've got to be tutored so that I can tutor these kids on how to learn correctly. That's some jacked up stuff. I don't know the whole issues in all of this, but I know that for 4 years as an after school tutor, that's part of my study, and that was messed up.
I feel the same way. I don't even want to make a referendum here on Common Core. I don't really. That's not what the show is about. It's irrelevant. The issue is if it's hard for you, it was hard for me. Just as a parent, look at it from that perspective. My kid comes home from school and is like, I need help with my math. And I look at it and Ryan's, you know, got a PhD. I have an MBA, so I've done some math in my life. And I look at this and I go, I don't even know, dude. Like, we're gonna have to watch some YouTube or something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't know what they're trying, what are they asking for? And in my world, like, it's get to the bottom line, get to the right number the fastest way possible. Okay, well, it's this. No, you can't do this. And it was like, whoa. So then I began to think, as you were talking, Ryan, can you imagine living in an urban context where you may not have a parent with, because it's typical, like you may not have a parent who has education at our level who can even learn how to do this the right way. So you're already like a couple legs down. You know, it's just, it's like really scary. And exactly why organizations like yours exist. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. No. We're trying to paint a picture for the listening audience here,
yeah,
that there's a very tangible need for things and organizations like the Resource Council of Western New York. And I realize that tutoring is merely a part of what you do. There's a very holistic nature to the services that you're providing for the community in and around East Ferry. And so just with this conversation itself, just teeing it up, having Justin in studio again this week, Jerrica in studio this week, as you're hearing us talk, can you help the listeners understand what does this look like for children in your community that you're serving? And I mean, does this resonate with some of the clear challenges that are present in education in the city of Buffalo and in the folks that you're helping to serve?
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. It does. It resonates wholeheartedly. We hear from parents. We see the homework that the children are given. There's two parts to the homework. The paper that you see that comes home, the template from the workbook, is the result. You need to put whatever process they learned that day on paper to do the math assignment. But if you weren't in class and if you didn't see or hear the teacher explain the process through which they do a simple addition question, you wouldn't know the process to solve the problem.
Right.
So trying to decipher that code to figure out, well, why is this mark here? You know, why is this little caret arrow pointing down here? We look at it and we say, geez, this is a complex problem. They're why are they making it so complicated? But what the Common Core does, it tries to get the children to understand a concept of how to borrow, how to look at a number, the number 90 per se, and say, well, it's the number 90, but it's also 10 away from 100. So if I take that 10 away, then I have to add it 10 over here. It's trying to, we know math just simply as we line it up vertically. But they're not being taught to reposition the numbers to add vertically. They're given a more approach to do mental math to try to figure those out. But if you didn't hear that process from the teacher, and most parents obviously weren't in school that day, they don't know how to help at home. And they're not getting the structure or the organization of how that process of that problem is supposed to take place. They don't get the textbook. All of that is in school. So parents have to relearn most of the time the process through which the school is expecting them to do the problem. And we hear it from the children and say, well, if I line it up this way and do that addition problem, I'm going to get it wrong. Right. Even though I got the right answer, even though you're teaching me the way you learned, that's not the process I'm supposed to do it now. Right. And that's difficult for most parents.
Tell us about the state of education for the kids that you're working with on a daily basis. I mean, we hear about education in the city, and there's a lot of money that goes into it, and you know, people in the suburbs, there's this perception, well, it's not that bad, it's just the kids won't do the work, or it's the families don't make them do the work, or there's these preconceived ideas. Tell us the true state of what it is. I mean, we're not looking to bash anybody here, but just the true state of the kids coming to you for help and what they need help with, and kind of, we talked with you, maybe Jerrica, you can actually speak to this because you're a City Honors grad who in essence, you worked hard, but you kind of won the lottery in the city, just going to City Honors, one of the top high schools in the country right here in Buffalo, sets you up well. But what about someone who doesn't get into City Honors?
Right. So with getting an education for high school through City Honors, my narrative is totally different as far as education, my relationship with education, my appreciation of education, than some of my peers that went to other schools in the city that didn't have the status and the resources that City Honors had. I didn't have to worry about violence. I didn't have to worry about fights breaking out. Didn't have to worry about my book bag being checked. I could carry a book bag when some of my peers couldn't. So I didn't have all of these other factors that City Honors was urban education, but it wasn't the same degree as my peers. Now, when I'm working with the children, they're really stressed out by the math and the reading. And you can see when you have conversations with them, like, hey, is mom able to help at home? Is grandma able to help at home? And they're sad because, oh, my mom can't, or oh, my grandma can't help. And it's like Justin was saying, because the math is different and the processes to get to the right answer are different. And now parents are feeling, you know, down because I can't help my child. And what picture does that paint between the child and their parent, and the child seeking help from a parent? And so I think that's kind of the wider thing that the powers that be don't really see when creating these new systems of how to do education, right? And then the kids have totally different environmental factors that impact their educational day, you know? And so the 14208 neighborhood has some challenges, and it's historically had a couple of challenges with poverty, with, you know, single-parent households, et cetera, et cetera. And when a kid has, like, can't go to an after-school program because they have to watch a younger sibling, that's problematic, and that's an issue that we don't really want to see children continuing to have.
Now, a child in that situation where they may have a single-parent home where let's say a mom, that's pretty, you know, kind of typical. A mom, she has to work, and she's at work, and they come home, and you have to take care of little brother, little sister, whatever. Is the Resource Council a place they can go to?
Absolutely. So we have tons of sibling groups where there are three children in the family. They all come to us. There are, you know, more children in the family. They can come to a Resource Council. Parents can know all of my kids are there, all of my kids are safe, and we love providing that.
That's huge. I mean, that is, because I mean, that's one of the barriers to trying to dig out of the really the location that you grew up in, is just having the ability to, you know, have kids being watched over, taken care of, somebody helping with homework, them being active instead of having this idle time at home with no one watching them. I mean, any kid, I would have not been here today probably had I had that freedom, really. As kids they're not ready for that. And so what you guys, I mean, it really does show that the Resource Council is changing not only lives today by just interacting with them, but futures and generations.
That was actually a situation that we learned about from the school itself, School 53, who has an after-school provider who comes in to work with older children. This is a K-8 school. I believe they're one of their programs for the 4th through 8th graders is in existence. However, they expressed the need that many of those children have to go home to watch the younger siblings. So that grew out of a conversation that we had with school management.
That was the heat kicking
on. That's
the
heat. That's not squirrels in the vents. Yeah. That's what happens here.
Conversation with school management to...
Jerrica needs the paddles over there.
Sorry about that.
It was a conversation we had with school leadership to fulfill a need that they had, and we value that. We love the idea to be able to bring the family group in and work with the entire family, because that helps us identify them. It helps the parent to understand the value as well that we provide them.
This is Christ Together Radio. If you didn't figure it out, we're recording today at the chapel. We've done that a number of times. It might sound a little different, and the hangar?
The hangar.
The west wing? The east? Something.
It's the hangar.
Oh, okay.
That's
the hangar.
What they labeled it.
The hangar. And it has a heating duct that just went off. So yeah. poor Jerrica's still recovering. She just, anyway. Christ Together Radio, Jerrica Delaney and Justin King joining us in studio today from the Research Council of Western New York. We're talking today about their work with their community center down in the city. And what zip code was it again? 14208. 202 is where our station is located, so I always get the two confused. The 14208 zip code in the city of Buffalo, and just their work with helping people who need a place to stay. They need community. And Jerrica, I love what you said, how you just felt like God had called you to build communities, and how He's miraculously placed you back into your own city to do just that. And it's really cool to hear. And we're talking about education and just things that are just difficult to overcome growing up in a city context. And Ryan, there's a number of ministries doing great work in this area, but the Research Council is just, and how long have you guys been in existence?
Well, we've only been open since January of this year.
Right.
And it was January of the previous year that we were awarded our not-for-profit status.
Okay, I was thinking January previous year because it was kind of but really since January you've been open. So this is a new work. And it's exciting to watch God move, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is one of a handful of organizations that is doing really good work in the region. What I love about it is I feel like the Lord has allowed me to walk in some relationship with other folks. And so just the fact that Jerrica and I go to the same church, that's a really exciting thing for me, because honestly, as the Lord has increased the diversity of our local church, he's opening our eyes to like what when you say something, what is what you say that might be general for you is received differently from someone else. And I think as the Lord begins to awaken us to that, a sensitivity to that, that we have a more holistic understanding of what it's going to take to see this region reached with the gospel and the services, the tangible needs met in order to have the conversation to proclaim the gospel. It looks different in different communities, and I feel like that's a blessing that the Lord is giving us. He's awakening us to the diversity of the community which we're trying to reach.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. As always, you can check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Go to Programs. Click on Christ Together Radio. You can find out more about Ryan and myself and also about previous broadcasts. You can listen to them there. You can find out what we were doing on those days and what kind of mischief we were getting involved in, and listen back. And I think it's cool because, as you see, it wasn't on purpose, but you'll see a pattern of how God is moving throughout our city. And we dealt with churches and church planting and inner city ministries, and then reconciliation between suburban, urban, and now we're talking about centers and the research council or resource council. Doing what they do in the city. And we're going to be talking about that more in just a minute. So I want you to stay tuned. We'll be back with Justin King and Jerrica Delaney, Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy hosting today. You're listening to Christ Together Radio.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy as we co-host today, co-host every week here on Christ Together Radio. Thank you for listening. And as always, check us out, WDCXradio.com. Go to Programs and click on Christ Together Radio. You can find out more. You can also find a little form there to email us. Let us know if you have any questions. We've had a few people write in with some questions, and as best we can, we'll respond and try to get back to you if you have questions, or if you would like to see a topic covered on our show, or if you have a ministry and you're listening and you'd love to talk to us here on the show. We'd love to hear from you, so that you can do that right all there right on the website, WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs and it's scroll down to Christ Together Radio. Today we're talking about the Resource Council. We talked about it last week, last program, and we're also talking about it today. We have Jerrica Delaney and Justin King in studio. And Ryan, it's been interesting and exciting to learn about what God is doing, but it's not something that happens overnight, is it?
Yeah, so one of the things, again, thinking about the people that are driving around or listening at home, sometimes they, when they're unfamiliar with the hard labor of the gospel and just seeing God's word go forward in a real tangible way, they just kind of, I think we develop like, oh yeah, it sounds like you're doing a great thing. But one of the things that we like to do is help people enter into the difficulty of the work of the gospel. And I know for me, I've been working in trying to cultivate relationships throughout this region now. This is my 9th year. And I feel like the amount of work that has had to happen in order just to till the soil of trust with partners, that's a good 5-6 years that only now are we starting to begin to harvest the kind of the residual of those relationships, the benefit of those relationships, and specifically thinking about church planting, but also funding other ministries and partnering with other ministries in the region. But for you all, as you're starting out with the Resource Council, I know you said January is really when this thing got started. Have you had that moment where you've just realized that this is not a 5-year solve, but that this is the next 30 years of our life? And if you've had that moment, tell us about it. But then also tell us a little bit about how do you respond to that reality? So maybe Justin first, and kick it over to Jerrica as well.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I think what we understand, we know that the children are coming from a difficult home life, a difficult environment. We want to create the environment in our center that they feel safe, they're loved, they understand that we're there for them, and it's difficult sometimes when we want to make that immediate impact, but we've learned it's going to take a long time. It's not a one-time fix to see a child, to help them with their homework for that minute, that 2 minutes, that 10-minute segment, and think, okay, I fixed them. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. And oftentimes they call for that help, they demand that help, and we go over to help, and then they get lost and distracted in another way. And sometimes you think, geez, am I wasting my time with this one child? And it really speaks to my heart, because I don't like to say no. I don't want to tell them, no, I can't help you, which I know we've spoken about that ratio of more adults are needed to make that one-on-one relationship long-term. And we know that's the truth. That's how we get out of the situation with these children. It's to provide one-on-one mentoring and support over a long period of time. And with that, we can start to curb some of the social-emotional deficiencies that they may have. You know, how can we get them to focus on their homework with so many other stressful things in their lives, in their mind going on, how their day was, what they're going home to, their lack of confidence in doing their work, the situation they may find themselves in with other children, whether they're a bully or being bullied, or there's some kind of drama that has happened that day, to get that child to come in focused, ready to be part of an after-school program which wants them to both have fun and get something rewarding out of the program is difficult every day to come in, and you just want to know that you're making a difference. But there's little vignettes that we get with each child. Every time we see a little moment where we think we reached them, there's a little epiphany that went off with that child that makes my heart melt. Yeah. For them to Justin, know that we connected.
Sorry, Justin, you said earlier, you kind of feel like sometimes saying like, don't you know we're trying to help you? And it just sparked a memory of me of just in youth ministry in general. If you know, I started out kind of in my lay church work in youth ministry, and you don't, youth ministry is the kind of thing, and teaching's kind of that way too. You don't realize the fruit of your labor until they're adults, like sometimes older adults, like 40, you know, 45, and they come back and say, you may not remember this, and you're like, I don't even remember this kid, but you made a difference in my life. And you know, just maybe to encourage you right here on the radio, that may happen. I mean, you may not see the fruit of your labor except for the long play. And it may be decades until someone comes back and says, I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for you guys having that ministry and you answering the call of God for that ministry.
You know, Jerrica, Justin, thanks for answering. I think that's really cool. Jerrica, I'd be interested in just your view on this too, because I think there's this additional ingredient in your narrative, which is you've grown up in the city. And so, you know, when you're looking at the challenges in front of you, how does it strengthen your resolve? How do you keep your hand on the plow? What does that look like for you?
For me, although I share some cultural and ethnic narratives with the children, every person is different. And I had to check myself. Like, Jerrica, you don't know this child's entire story. Yeah, you knew how to tie your shoes by first grade, but this little kiddo does not. So it's like when you crouch down and you're eye to eye with them and they really don't understand something, you see your why. You see that there's more work to be done. You see that God has more for this child, that God has more for your role in this child's life. And I often find myself, when those tired days come, just reminding myself of the why, reminding myself that this kid had fun today. Let's repeat that tomorrow. And every day is a new hurdle being overcome by the child. Every day that they practice their ABCs and actually can write their name with their J facing the right way, their E facing the right way, those may seem like little things, but it's major for some of these kids when they can read three sight words when 3 days before they couldn't read any. That's major wins for my heart, for that child. And I often find myself thinking, like, this is going to take some time, you know? Like, this is not just a one-day thing, a one-year thing. This is longevity. You have to invest, because I remember being a child and being in after-school programs, summer camps, and people invested in me. And I'll see a teacher in the grocery store, and I say, you were my fifth grade math teacher, and I hated math, but now I really have an appreciation for X, Y, and Z because you taught me that. And they're looking like, wow, I didn't know it mattered because you didn't really want to do that test or that template. So I look forward to years down the line when our students come back to us and say, that made a difference. You taking the time to teach me that sight word made a difference. You breaking up that fight and talking to me about how a little girl, you know, carries herself this way, and a little girl, you know, uses this kind of language, you know, different things like that.
Are you
matters.
Saying you got in a fight in like third grade or something?
Oh, gosh, no.
I'm just teasing. I could never see that in you.
No.
Oh, that's cool. So you have folks that are volunteering with you, and obviously, like, perhaps contextually, there's a learning curve for them, or there's some things that you've got to coach them in, maybe some preconceptions that they have or some other things that they might be dealing with as they begin to engage and serve. Can you talk with us a little bit about that? What has that looked like, and what are some of the challenges as you're trying to coach people up so that they can be the best help they can be to serve the children that you're reaching out to?
Yeah, I think the group of volunteers that we currently have, and where we want to go into the next segment with more volunteers, today it's focused on the college-age students. We have a great group from Canisius, a great group from Buffalo State, and we'll grow that down the road as well with service learning opportunities in those classes. But the next step is really the suburban church community coming down to our center and spending time one-on-one with the child. Yes, there are some preconceived notions. Yes, we're on East Ferry between Jefferson and Humboldt. We're not far from the Museum of Science. And I won't sugarcoat it and say that it's not a perfect neighborhood. But, you know, we've been in situations where people just really don't have an understanding of where we are, who we are, and the fact that the neighborhood trusts our center. They want to use our center, and it's a sort of a sanctuary. We had one circumstance where a volunteer from the suburbs came in and in the front lobby asked out loud, well, is it really safe to park my car here? And for the people who have been parking their car there for the last year or so-and-so, it's a little, not frightening, but just sad to think that people really would put those own personal barriers up to serving. Yes, it's a risk, but there's a major reward in that risk to come on down. And for those volunteers who want to come down, we'll train them. We'll give them the support. But oftentimes, their presence alone, to have a listening ear, to ask a question to a child, and just spend that one-on-one time with them in the group is critical to them having a positive influence in their life. Somebody they can just learn from, adapt with, and trust. That they know they'll be there. That's important for us.
As you mentioned that, Justin, it just dawned on me, like, it's kind of irrelevant whether it's dangerous or not, because if God has really put it on your heart to go help or to go be a part of what he's asking you to do, your car might get stolen. But just in general. Or things might get uncomfortable no matter where it is, even if it is dangerous, which it really isn't. But even if it was, it's irrelevant, because when God asks you to do something, it's not just going down there to shop or going to wherever. It's he asked you to do it. And if your car gets taken, how small is your faith to think that you can't, that he can't supply you with a better vehicle or whatever? It's just that stuff tends to fade away when God has really asked you to become a part of something. It's no different than going to the mission field or going anywhere else. That, in fact, it'd probably be better if it was more dangerous, because I think we as comfortable American evangelical Christians maybe need to get a little bit dangerous in our yes to God.
And I'll say, too, I live in Lancaster, but my vehicle was broken into at night in a suburban neighborhood. Yes, I left the car unlocked and somebody went through it, but in all my year and a half spending over on East Ferry, not one instance, not one scratch, not one theft that we've gone through, witnessed, or been made aware of. So, you know, really it's a non-issue for us going to work every day.
Yeah. Jerrica, looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, and I'll just add that with people that aren't native to the community coming into the community, you really have to take on some cultural humility. You have to, because if you come in with your preconceived notions, the children can feel that, the families can feel that, and you start to build a wall. And they can see the wall, they can feel the wall, and that it's not conducive to the change that we're trying to create, the love that we're trying to create, that atmosphere. And I have to check myself, like I told you before, I had to check myself coming in thinking that the kids would be at a certain level. And I share some narratives as the children, but you gotta check your judgments at the door, because when you work with the kids and when you look in their eyes, they are some beautiful children. I learn new things every day from the kids that we work with, and I'm grateful for those opportunities. But if I held on to my judgments, if I looked around the neighborhood and judged the child based on what I see outside, I would have never gotten to the levels of growth, the mutual trust, the mutual learning opportunities by holding on to that stuff. So you got to be willing to learn and let go of what you thought before. Some of it may be valid, but I can say most of it is not. These are great families and great children.
Well, and I think even just the idea of being sensitive to the walls that get built up, what a pedagogical lesson for the church. You know, that, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it in our own church environments at times, that preconceived notions can really interfere with the holistic nature of the gospel changing people. And my, how I long to see that change. But I feel like these are those types of opportunities for us to walk in relationship, to break those things down as we serve a tangible need in a community. So I think that's a good word.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Great conversation today with our friends Jerrica Delaney and Justin King from the Resource Council of Western New York, located right here in Buffalo, 14208 zip code. And I get the 8 mixed up because our station is 14202. So anyway, right around the corner from us. And just so thankful for their answer of God's calling to their ministry. When we finished our last segment, we were discussing just how different preconceived ideas, different life experiences kind of cause us to look at other people with questioning or whatever. And I see that in my own kids. And I think, Jerrica, you said something earlier. I'm going to kick it to Ryan here in just a second. But Jerrica, you said something earlier about children and how kids are kids. And they just want to be loved. And they don't see color. They don't have a lifetime of being told something or have bad experiences or whatever. And I see that in my own kids. You know, when they have an issue with another kid at school or something like that, I always tell them, like, what do you think is deeper there? And usually, without fail, the kid that's giving them a hard time or the kid that's being bad or whatever, there's something deeper going on. Whether it's, you know, parents at home, whether it's, you know, black, white, Asian, whatever, it's always a deeper issue that kid is at hurt, because kids are kids and they just want to be loved and they just want to live their life. And usually when there's something that goes wrong and the kid's acting out or whatever, there's something deeper there. And I think I loved what you said, that you just kind of move on and keep trying to love, and because ultimately, you know, they're kids and we just need to love them. Ryan, you had something to jump in.
No, I just, in the off air, I think this is good content, but, you know, I think some people don't see color. I think people do see color, though. I think that's a very real thing that happens. And a good example of that is God has been growing the diversity of the local church that I'm at, and we're now over 20% of our church is non-Anglo. And you know, people will say, like in the megachurch world, well, you're a multicultural church, you've figured it out. And I go, we haven't even begun to understand. But I feel like the Lord, what's happening is the Lord is setting the table for us, and that if we would trust in Him, we could come to the table and we could begin to have some very deep and some very meaningful conversations about preconception. And you know, some people will say, like even in church partnership, like, well, we just got to sit down at the table and we got to, you know, we just got to have the right conversation with the right people at the right time. And what I've come to learn is, like, I mean, well, that assumes that the right people's hearts are being changed for the right conversation at the right table at the right time. And it just doesn't work that way. It's almost like that would be like a sterile environment of like, okay, we're all good. But I feel like what the Lord has begun to do is He's begun to show us that as a church grows in its diversity, that there are some issues that people need to have some honest heart check conversations with. And that if you begin to walk in relationship with people, and people begin to trust you and allow you to make mistakes in your preconceptions, I think it's there that the real work of deconstructing prior learning begins to happen. Because I think there's prior learning that's good, and it respects diversity, it respects the beautiful mosaic of the gospel. Some people have learned that very well. I think there's others that have not. And so as we were talking in the break, like that's even a part of some of the conversation that you all are dealing with at the Resource Council. And I think Jerrica, you had a lot of wisdom in the break, and I if you can muster remembering any of that, I would love for you to share it with the audience here.
Well, yeah. So basically, people having the willingness to sit at a table with people different from them and bring all of your preconceived notions, lay them out on the table, and let's start dissecting them with some understanding, really active listening, not trying to plan out a response because you got triggered by something that made you a little flustered. But we got to sit down and we have to listen to each other. And that willingness to facilitate and start that process, it has to begin. Even if you don't have an answer, even if you don't know a solution and you don't even have one in your mind and weren't looking to come with a solution, but the willingness to sit down, the willingness to have it wrong, make the mistakes, say the wrong thing, so that we can correct different behaviors. And some of it's generational. We can't knock someone who's had a narrative told to them that, oh, all black people are bad, or all people with big elbows, you know, will knock you out. You know, we want to hear those things so that as a body of believers or laborers in this vast vineyard of doing God's work, we can get past that stuff so the real healing can happen, so the real change can come, and so ultimately through our work, God can be glorified and people's lives can be transformed. Yeah.
I think back even a couple of weeks ago in studio, we had two really good friends of mine, Charlie Mitchell, who's in Baltimore, African-American church planter, Jordan Rice, who's in Harlem, African-American church planter, and you know, in the relationships I've had with them over the last few years, like, they've been able to say, hey, Coz, we love you. When you say this, here's how we hear that. Or in this meeting that we just came out of, here are some things that you might have assumed that aren't necessarily true. And the love that they have for me to point those things out. And also, I feel like the Lord has used me to say, hey guys, when you kind of came into this meeting here, you know, I know that you're kind of defensive, but you don't have to be. Like, we really want your perspective here, and you got to trust us, right? But only until you begin to walk in relationship can you even begin to have those types of dialogues, because everything else is transactional. And the moment, like, if a relationship stays transactional, the moment that tension happens, nobody's got the benefit of the doubt, and you go back to what you assumed about the individual to be. I knew that was going to screw it up. I knew that person was going to say something that was going to bother me or hack me off. And I think that that's where walking in partnership, walking in relationship becomes really key. And I think, honestly, our understanding of the gospel is that much deeper.
Ryan, think back. If you're driving today and listening, or if you're in your home and listening, you got us tuned in, I want you to do this too. Think back to how many times you've been wrong about somebody, and then how many times you've been right about somebody when you kind of were negative on somebody. And I can tell you from my own life, like more times than not, I'm wrong about how I perceive somebody. I'm like, well, they're probably going to look at this like that or whatever, just based on what you've heard or where they work or wherever, where they live. And usually you're wrong, no matter which side of any issue you're looking at. And it's so true, whether it's political, whether it's racial, whether it's whatever, just take it to the political level. Like we think that Republicans hate all poor people and Democrats hate all rich people. Well, it's not really true. It's just everybody disagrees on how to go about things for change or whatever. That's just a very rudimentary example of you need to approach things like helping with the Resource Council. I'm leading you in here. This is a segue. Helping with the Resource Council. You need to approach things with open eyes and open arms. And the reason I brought out earlier that, you know, kids just want to be loved is that that is the bridge. I have not done a lot of inner city ministry, but I've done some. And what I found is if you go in there and you lay on the ground and roll around and wrestle and play some basketball, and I love basketball. So if I just start playing some basketball with some kids and just hanging out, boy, those walls start to break down. I mean, rapidly, when they realize that you're safe, and you'll get silly and you'll, you know, put a goofy clown hat on or whatever, and just love on them for who they are. And it's so rewarding, isn't it? And so I think we talked earlier about, we wanted to hear kind of what your future hopes and dreams are for the Resource Council, and then also how do people engage with you to make those dreams come true?
Yeah, I think, and just to highlight the point, too, of what people are walking into when they come and help. Yes, we can label the school that we're serving. It's the ranked 273rd out of 276 schools in Western New York elementary schools for test scores. The neighborhood that the children live in, primarily around the 14-28 zip code, has its challenges. But when we meet the children, when they come in, they're like sponges for love. They just want your attention. They just want someone to sit with them, to help them color a picture, to help read a book, to help dig into their homework, and avoid all of the other distractions around the room and other people. That's one of our struggles, is to find enough adult leadership to be there and have a presence to work one-on-one with every kid. We would love for that. That really is my goal. The vision I see is one tutor, one volunteer, that would be able to mentor the entire family, not just the child in an after-school setting, but to have a personal appointment that the family shows up at 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, that the mom, grandma, grandpa, dad, whoever it is, comes in and they meet with that tutor in a one-on-one setting too, where the tutor can help just bridge that understanding gap between the child and the parent, so the parent can take those skills learned and take them home and reinforce those good behaviors at home. The other vision that we have for the center is families thriving in all of our activities, whether it's after school, a senior program in the morning, an aquatic fitness program, the open gym time and camps for children that are running basketball clinics and leagues developing, parents using the fitness room while the children are swimming, families being able to rent the space for a birthday party or a baby shower at a low cost and having a great option. And certainly having a computer lab where families can come in, or children, to do their homework on the computer. For adults to have a business center that they can come in and print a document as a resume or send a fax that they need to. And as we're learning about where Buffalo Public Schools are going, that we've heard that they might go to an online backpack. And that's going to really face some challenges create challenges for families at home who don't have a desktop, because you won't have access on a tablet or on a smartphone. And then when you need those services, where are you going to go? It's either a library or a community center. And we want to be one of those places that people can rely on us for those business services and computers.
And you know, with the contacts that the Resource Council and Saving Grace has throughout the Buffalo area, a lot of that stuff can happen. And just think of job placement and helping people with resumes. I just had like a mental picture of how cool it would be just to, as jobs become available, just to be a resource where people could just get plugged in, because there's hope in jobs, right?
That's right. And to that point, our center is a great space. And we're not trying to create new programs out of thin air. We value and we know that there are great organizations in the city of Buffalo that are working today who need space, who need partners to create an environment for them to house their program. And we're willing to do that. One great partnership that we've recently been encouraged to go and build is with Big Brother Big Sisters, to make sure that their bigs and littles in that zip code have a place, a safe place to take the children for an activity: swimming, gym, computers, after school, tutoring, library. So just a great way that we can utilize and capitalize on the other not-for-profits and organizations that are doing great work, and just give them space to help fulfill their mission too. Yeah.
Jericho, why don't we close? We got a couple minutes left in our episode for today. Justin, I appreciate you sharing that. That's a good picture. What do you dream of when you see this taking shape?
First thing that came to my mind was a cookout.
Okay.
So I could imagine and see the smells and the sights of kids, you know, playing football, parents, somebody's granddad or someone on the grill, making some hot dogs.
Why is the old guy always got to be on the grill?
I don't know, because I think they do it best. You know, I can see the local churches on our street coming together, hosting their events there, just really big community collaborations. Mm. I can hear kids laughing. I can hear families playing checkers and chess, like different kind of things in the building, just more life in the building. I can see people on the exercise equipment ready to do some better health changes in their life. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of things I can see families. Mm-hmm. I can see families feeling safe, feeling at home, and taking ownership of the space. Like, this is my community center. This is our community center.
Right.
I can see that. I can hear it. And I can't wait to see it all in front of me.
That's cool. I think when I hear you all, one of the things, if I could add to the picture, I dream about partner churches and partner individuals from churches in our region, not wanting to be the center of the story, but rather being the supporting cast. Because I think of a great thing I've learned over the years is a particular ministry has said, you know, a lot of times the solutions to the problem in a community are actually in the community. They just haven't been cultivated. They haven't been mentored. They haven't been developed. And so I don't think about outside forces coming in, although outside forces do help. But I think about outside partners saying, what do you need? How can I play a small role in the work that you're doing? I want you to be the central part of this. And so that's my hope and my dream in this process. So,
well, I enjoyed hearing about what the Resource Council of Western New York is doing this week. So thank you so much. And can somebody give us the number real quick again?
Yeah, Resource Council, 716-259-9844.
Do it one more time.
716-259-9844.
Okay, if you need to know more, you can always call WDCX or check us out online and check out on Facebook, Resource Council WNY. Also, they have a Facebook page. You can get more information there. I just see so many opportunities coming, and I wish we had more time to talk about that. But I think just, Ryan, as people get involved in this, you begin to get a heart for it too. Yeah. So as you come in from the outside to help, come in low and ask God to teach you something. I'm learning so much. You know, I just because I've been involved in ministry in Western New York for my whole life, kind of come in with assumptions, but I learn so much every time I speak to you and others who are doing ministry in the city. And our offices are down there, but I still every day learn so much more. So anyway, come in low, get involved in what God is doing in your city. And we're going to be talking about more and more things about the city and about our region coming up on Christ Together Radio. Thanks for listening today, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.